out of so right. Are you feeling
and it? It's so loud, and it's so right. Till we're all drunk, then it's so fast, then it's all over.
Go home, go sleep, wake up, get sober.
What a great night.
And it's so loud, and it's so right. Till we're all drunk, then it's so fast, then it's all over.
Fix that up. But, I had a martini.
You've already had it.
Yeah, it was good.
I saw you post that you'd finished mixing it just before we started messing around with the microphones, and it's already gone.
Yeah, no, well, yeah, well, no, well, it was a superb martini, so I didn't want it, getting up to room temperature or anything. That'd be a travesty.
I must admit, I'm already halfway through my gin and tonic.
Did you see the post I did about drinking?
Yes, you had gin for the first time in 30 years.
Yeah, and it was a revelation. Until about a week or two back, the last time I'd had gin was some ruinous fucking afternoon of drinking at the student rec club, UQ. And I was table drinking, you know, because I'd run out of money, so I was just going around knocking off the dregs of other people's beers.
Old class.
Doesn't taste too good. And at one point I really need some water to clean out. So I just picked up this glass, what I thought was water, and it wasn't. It was cheap student club gin that had been sitting festering in the sun. And I didn't,
so what you
didn't drink gin again
that,
for 30 years.
Is that secondhand gin
is not what it's all cracked
it
up to be.
It was cheap and warm is actually of lesser quality than good gin when it's served properly.
Oh, no. Who'd have thunk? Anyways, I couldn't drink it. Couldn't drink it, wouldn't drink it. Just stayed away from the stuff for 35 years. And then I went to this this dinner in Sydney about 3 weeks ago. And it was being sponsored by some gin company. I forget who, which is a pity because, you know, they paid for dinner.
Tanqueray?
Yeah, that's them. Yeah, they were lovely people. They bought our dinner. And when I got there, I was thirsty because, you know, I'd walked all the way down from the cross. Someone handed me this drink, which I thought was just fizzy water. And I love a bit of fizzy water. So slammed it down. I thought, Jesus, that's some sweet fucking fizzy water. So it had a bit of a shake. But it didn't have the sort of visceral reaction that I'd had 35 years ago. Someone said, oh, it's gin. Oh, well, yeah, it wasn't. It didn't suck.
It's always a lovely drink for after a hard day of hunting lions.
Well, in fact, here is an interesting factoid.
Go on then.
No, honestly, the day I wrote up, I had to write this up in the blog, that this is the sort of thing blogs were invented for. You know, you haven't drunk gin for 35 years, you have one by accident. Quick. Somebody invent the internet and give me a blog to record this in. Mm-hmm. So I recorded the story of the gin, and then that night I'm sitting up in bed, you know, just flicking through my Zeit app on the iPad, and it takes me to this story in Slate about how gin partly explained the power of the British Empire. Do you know why? Can you guess why?
Quinine for malaria.
Yeah, the quinine.
Yes.
The quinine in the tonic. It, they actually decided that they would mix, you know, they put the tonic into some fizzy water or something, or maybe when they put it in the water it started fizzing or some shit. Who cares? And then they thought the best way to get this into people is to throw a big slug of gin in there. And so it became a huge part of British colonial life to have a couple of G&Ts on the veranda at the end of the day. Mm. That was how you got your quinine in. You saw off malaria. You enslaved 3/4 of the world.
There you go.
Yeah.
Everyone's a winner.
Well, that would explain why the British Empire fell apart so quickly, is because the Queen Mother started drinking all of the gin. She just took away all the reserves. So speaking of what, John?
That's right. Let's just, we'll go back to my brilliant segue.
Yes, the segue. Everyone, it's a segue. Everyone, it's a segue.
From G&Ts on the veranda of the British Empire to Zulu, the movie, which was sort of related to the British Empire.
Yes.
Well, anyway, I watched it the other night. I've got it on disc. And it was
I've
awesome.
Never seen it. Is it about British Empire?
Back up.
It's not just about the letter Z and they're doing the military speak.
You've never seen the movie Zulu.
Uh-oh. I might be in trouble.
How did you get on this fucking podcast? What do you mean?
I taught you how to make it.
He edited it for the first couple of episodes. I think that's how he did it. He conned his way in with his superior computer skills.
Surely, Greg, you've seen Zulu.
I have seen it. My parents are disturbingly British, so yes, I have seen Zulu.
Yeah, yeah. What, 13, 14 times last week?
Yeah. I don't think I've seen it since I became officially an adult, so 21. I don't think I've seen it since then.
No. Well, you've totally got it. You've got to go back and see it again. What's that? You got a big plasma, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but the one that upsets Dan because it's destroying the planet.
Yeah, the one that I can hear it humming from right. here.
Yeah, it looks good. Looks good on a plasma.
All those
mate.
Blacks. Oh, wait, hang on. I came out wrong. I didn't quite mean it. That just... Oh, God.
Yes, plasma TVs. Black and blacks. Caucasians.
Okay, I'll stop speaking now.
We'll be leaving that one in, and we'll let the internet sort it out.
Ouch. Thank you, Brain, for not editing that one.
you should go see it. And you know, Dan, you just... In fact, you should just leave the podcast now. Go buy a copy. Obviously, you know, you don't torrent it. Just go get yourself a copy of Zulu, watch it, and then you can come back.
Because Michael Caine needs more money. He, damn it.
Maybe I'll just read through the Wikipedia entry. read up on the plot.
Okay, yeah. Well, let me. Okay, I'll synopsisize it for you. It's based on the Battle of Rorke's Drift, which came. It was a couple of days after some other battle called, I don't know, Wanderlei something or other. Anyway, in the first battle, like, all these Brits got wiped out because they were just tactically incompetent and the Zulu army fell on them and, you know, game over. And then about 2 or 3 days later on that, the same Zulu army came to a small encampment which was being run by a bunch of engineers. I think they were, like, building a little bridge across a creek or something like that. And the senior officers there were just a couple of lieutenants or second lieutenants or something, and they organised the defence of this place. It was about, I don't know, 140, 150 blokes, and they held off this Zulu horde for days. They won, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 Victoria Crosses, and this movie got made out of it. And it's awesome. It's a fantastic 1950s British movie. It's unrepentantly... un-PC, and it's just got every fantastic cliche that you would expect from a sort of British colonial war movie. So, you know, the Sergeant Major is this sort of huge barrel-chested man with, like, mustaches.
Great big moustache, smokes a pipe, pith helmet comes down over his eyes.
Yeah. And so, you know, he's the guy that has... You know, as 300 Zulus have sort of breached the defences and they're running at the line and someone, like, fires too early, he'll sort of turn them up, wait for it.
Nice.
It's just, you know, lots of moments like that. The guy who played the Sergeant Major, he looked like a Sergeant Major. And I actually think if you go back to the movies of that period, you'll see this bloke all the way through them and always playing Sergeant Majors. In fact, given it was made in the 1950s, he was probably a Sergeant Major in the Second World War, and they just put him, you know, into the movies. So, you look good, in here.
You know who I'm envisaging? I'm envisaging in this role Danger Mouse's boss.
Oh, yes, Colonel K.
Colonel K from Danger Mouse.
True. Is that working for you, Greg?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's not, once again, he's a bit too big. Colonel K is a bit too fat. Dan keeps going for fat people. I don't know why. It's odd. But, if Colonel K...
It's a thing. Hey, it's a proper thing. There's an actual search term on porn sites for it. Let's move on.
Well, I was looking at this. I was looking at this film again, you know, for the third or fourth time in the week, and thinking, yeah, this is awesome. But it could be awesomer. They could get the Danger Mouse guy, I guess, to play the Sergeant Major. But you could probably get someone better if you remade the movie today. And one thing, like, you know, one thing they didn't have then, which we have now, is it wasn't CGI, but, you know, proper explosive blood packs. So that, you know, when some Zulu guy gets shot with a Henry Martini rifle, you know, bits of him fly apart the way that they're supposed to. Or, you know, when some squaddy gets run through with a spear, it actually comes out, you know, the other side with bits of
doesn't just crumple
stuff.
Up on the front.
Exactly. Well, what happened, the Sergeant Major, the bloke I was talking about before, he was very, very good at killing blokes. But in the movie, like, you know, the Zulus had run at him, and he'd sort of, well, he'd bayonet them. Well, that was what you were supposed to believe. But in fact, if you watch the movie, what he's basically doing is just waving a sharp stick. And these guys will suddenly, like, clutch their tummies like some, you know, like Thomas, you know, 11-year-old boy wants to get off school, clutch his tummy, oh, falls over. That was the standard of acting and special effects in Zulu. So although, in the context of the time it was an awesome movie, it could be a lot awesomer. I don't know, just every time I see it, it makes me think there's a chance.
Are you really honestly asking for someone to remake Zulu in the modern day? Is that
Totally. I'm putting it out there. Yeah, remake Zulu, please, with proper explosions.
Well would like Michael Bay? George...
Let's get Michael Bay on that.
Michael Bay would make an awesome remake of Zulu.
Could we just get Michael Bay to take the original film and just edit it, you know, like George Lucas did with the Star Wars movies. Just put more explosions into it, like blood and guts falling out of people, that sort of stuff. Surely you could just edit
could
it
you
now
do that?
With computer magic. Surely, Dan, you do computer magic. Surely that's easy.
Hey, you know, there is a re-release of Zulu, like is a brand really? New Zulu film, 2013.
Fuck.
It's starring Orlando Bloom and Forest Whitaker.
What?
Forest Whitaker.
An English language French produced crime film.
What?
Oh, that's pretty much what you said, right?
Yes, when all you Zulus got murdered, no one knows how it happened. Who could solve the crime of the destruction of an entire nation? Obviously, Orlando Bloom, Legolas, and...
what's Orlando Bloom playing fucking Hercule Poirot or something? I think I see the hand of the British Empire here. Well, I'm going to have to go check. I'm going to have to go check it out. But you know, it doesn't sound like the sort of thing Michael Bay would have approved of.
I think you're always just asking for. It's dangerous games to ask for a movie to be remade because normally it's not going to live up to how you remember how awesome it was. You just can't. Can we think of one where that remake was even better than the original?
Ocean's 11.
Oh, I stand corrected. There you go.
Ocean's 11 is way better than the original. For one thing, they got rid of all the rape jokes. One of the objections, and it's a reasonable objection that is raised to, you know, against making or remaking a film like Zulu, it's just horribly un-PC. You got all these white blokes killing black blokes and shaking hands at the end of the movie. Oh, good job.
Yes, yeah.
But it doesn't have to be told from just one side. If you looked at, what was that great Vietnam movie? I think Mel Gibson was in it. He played the Lieutenant Colonel. They flew in the helicopters and, you know, lots of Vietnamese guys attacked him. It was basically Zulu, except in Vietnam. But that did a very good job of humanising and personalising the Vietnamese story and, you know, at times made the US effort look kind of, you know, brutish and inappropriate. Mm. So you could tend to modern political sensibilities, but you could have shitloads more explosions and blood packs in there.
That's squibs. Squibs ahoy!
Yeah, no, you're in trouble if you're... Like, you don't want to remake a good film, a successful film. You want to remake a bad one and fix it. Do you remember It's a Mad, 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 Mad World?
I remember many childhood Saturday evenings where that film was inexplicably always on Channel
O. They had it on loop.
It was on Channel O. They used to have it on 6:30 Saturday night for some reason. Channel O, you put it on, it would be there. Even as a kid, that title put me off. I just figured that, you know,
too many mads.
They're trying too hard.
It's way too mad. Ah. It's like, I mean, as a kid, you like a bit of madness, but that's a mad, 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 mad world? Come on, it's just too mad.
Yeah, no. It's too crazy. If it's a mad world. Yeah. If it's a mad world, I'd watch that. Maybe I wouldn't have thought much of it.
But it's a classic film.
What happens?
Like, it's a good comedy film. It's not like Rat Race from 2001, starring Rowan Atkinson and Whoopi Goldberg and Seth Green and Wayne Knight.
You're joking, really?
Yeah.
What's that?
And it's not an official remake, but it's basically the same plot.
Oh.
So what's the plot? It's like the Wacky Races.
Oh, yeah. You know, a dozen people who are vaguely celebrities are all trying to race to a treasure.
So you got like a Dick Dastardly character?
I think John Cleese is in there, actually.
And Muttley, the sniggering dog. Is there a Muttley?
No. Maybe. Oh, actually.
Well, maybe, you know, Maybe they shouldn't have done this remake until they got all their fucking ducks lined up and, you know, got a proper Muttley. Nice animatronic Muttley. That would have been
That's
good.
All we need. That's all movies need from this point on. They should be in Zulu.
With blood packs.
We should get it, yeah. That's the same.
Explosions.
More explosions, that's right.
There was Kathy Bates. Does she count?
Well, who did she play?
Crazy Squirrel Lady.
Yeah, no, look, I understand you have some, you know, you got some investment in this film because it's a treasured childhood memory.
Yeah.
But it sounds like shit. It's not the thing.
Good point. You may have hit the nail on the head there. Hey, you know what they should remake?
What?
The Super Mario Brothers movie, because that thing was a stinker.
Yeah, that's true.
Is that the one with Bob...
Bob Hoskins?
Yeah, was he in that?
Yep.
Samantha Mathis.
Mario.
That was fucking horrifying, that movie, because they changed people into those big green turtle things.
Yep. But that's one of
those... That freaked me out.
That's one of those movies they created. They went, oh, we'll make this... Because everyone seems to like this Mario guy. We'll make a movie. Oh, no. Let's not worry about any of the source material. Let's just make our own crap up as we go along. Because that'll be brilliant. And, of course, they missed that point of why people want to go watch a movie about the thing that they like. Because they like it. They don't want you to remake it.
Although, admittedly, if you're trying to go for really cleverly crafted narrative, going for the... for the storyline from a Super Mario Brothers game is probably not the way to go.
True.
Oh, you know what would be good? The Golden Child.
Fuck you, that's
a great movie.
The Eddie Murphy movie where he's a cop.
It's awesome.
And he's trying to rescue this kidnapped child who's like the Dalai Lama but full of magic and stuff. And there's like crazy monsters and stuff.
I'm crossing the streams with Coming to America.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I'm seeing Murphy in that sort of African outfit. Does he wear an African outfit in this other film?
No.
This is much more. He's much more channeling Axel Foley. He plays it really straight, but the character is but the storyline gets really crazy at some point and gets filled with.
It's kind of like the same sort of vein as Big Trouble in Little China. That kind of American.
That's a good film.
Yeah, American guy gets thrown into the East, crazy magic stuff. He has to deal with it in his own American way.
Yeah, see, Big Trouble, that's a film I reckon that doesn't need remake.
No, I
reckon that pretty much reached the zenith of what you want out of a sort of, you know, Kurt Russell film.
Can you remake sequels? Because I really like The Matrix. Like, I don't want to remake.
Oh, totally.
I don't want to remake. I do not want anyone to remake The Matrix. It's an awesome film, but remake The Matrix 2 and 3, please. That would be good. Like, tease out.
That'd be a good idea.
Because you could just go, Neo, the program has glitched, and now you look like someone else. And he goes, yes, I do. Oh, excellent. And we just solved that whole problem.
Why do you get someone else? Keanu Reeves doesn't look any older since 1999.
He's awful.
he's fine. But yeah, the story's awful. Like, the only good part in that second movie is where that guy has made his, like, own little mech warrior, and he's, like, shooting the shit out of...
Isn't that the third one?
Cylon octopuses
Sentinels.
It was in Zion. It was Zion. A silly hippie one.
Yeah. That was the...
He's in Zion. It's a fucking hippie commune on, like, the floor of the ocean or something.
It's underground. Near the...
They have a lot of machine guns for a hippie commune.
Near the core of the earth.
Yeah. And the Cylon octopuses get in.
You'll find they're called Sentinels, but let's move on. It's fine. It's okay. We'll just call them Cylon octopuses, shall we?
So, yeah, the Cylon octopus gets in, and this guy has made a little mech warrior.
And he was a Maori.
Which is cool.
He was like a Maori guy.
He was an aggressive Maori guy, ready to
even the score. It's awesome.
And, yeah, and it was awesome.
And they slashed his face. Like, one of the octopuses reaches him and then, like, reaches into the cage. They didn't think about putting him in a metal. They just had, like, a power loader thing, and it just cuts him up. And you go, oh, there's a flaw in your plan.
That was like 30, 40 seconds of perfect cinema.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they just do that over and over and over again for the rest of the movie? Why do we have to have the stupid, like, you know, the hippie mud dance?
Yeah, well, yeah. Or the creepy sex scene. It's creepy.
And the feelings.
I really like the idea that in the older versions of The Matrix, that's where we get all the ideas of ghosts and werewolves and vampires from. And that's, you know, those
weird... That was cool.
And you go, they could really focus on that. Then you could have, like, you could have Hammer monsters, like the old Hammer film monsters, but in The Matrix. I really focus on that. Oh, well, the agent can't kill him. Let's throw Frankenstein at Neo. Ah, that's the stuff.
I totally agree, because then you could get, like, more dudes in, like, their own mecha suits with machine gun arms shooting vampires.
Wow. That sounds like...
That sounds suspiciously like the film Van Helsing.
You take that back immediately.
That sounds like a good film.
I wouldn't mind seeing Ghostbusters redone. Or maybe not redone, but just go back and do a special edition where they fix up all of the special effects on the ghosts and just make everyone's hair just a little bit more, not some from the 80s.
Yeah.
Because the hair in that is very distracting. Well,
yes. Dan,
yeah, you're right.
Dan finds it very hard to masturbate to Sigourney Weaver with her crazy 80s hair.
It is bad hair.
I have to put in aliens. Alien.
No, let's go back and do Ghostbusters first, because my issue with that is the effects. Like, I remember when they came out, I went and saw it with my mum, actually. We went and saw it in Ipswich, it was cool. And I remember coming out and thinking, oh, it was cool. And then years later on, I saw it, and it wasn't cool. Well, you know, those ghosts didn't look believable at all. Like, Bill Murray was still cool. Mm. And, you know, Dan Aykroyd was cool. And Harold Ramis was cool. But the ghosts were, they were a joke.
It's odd that, you died. I'm assuming they were actual, were they people? Like, the old woman, the old librarian looked like a person. But Slimer just looked like a giant
But then it went all crazy. Yeah. And when it screamed at them and went all sort of animatronic. I think the problem is that back in the 80s, about 70% of people still thought Muppets were real. So the special effects seemed more... But then it turned out it was just people with their hands up socks.
That's another one you could do. It was that never-ending story with the giant dog Muppet, which I think could fly.
Falcor.
Or something.
The Luck Dragon.
Oh, yeah. It was...
Dragon. His name was Falcor.
Yeah. See, now there... Like, if you had a guy in a mecha suit with machine gun arms...
Oh, yes. Well, can you imagine the final scene when I've forgotten his name, not Atreyu, that's the boy and the other one. Anyway, the boy, the main character, he's barreling back into the real world on Falcor, and he's chasing down the bullies, and the Falcor yells at them, and he has an epiphany of experience. It's wonderful. But imagine if that dragon had robot mechanical arms with machine guns. Those bullies wouldn't know what hit them. I doubt they could repel it. I just don't think they could. They had not been investing long enough in an arms race with a machine gun wielding dragon. Just saying.
You couldn't remake Ghostbusters until Bill Murray's gone, could you? Because anybody who played that role would have his shadow over them. It would be like sometimes it works. Like in BSG when they had the original Apollo playing the politician. And it totally worked. So it wasn't just the sort of cameo shout out back to the original series. Like, it was for the first minute or so, and then this guy turns out to be a pretty fucking decent actor, and it totally worked. But Murray, like, he owns that film. He owns everything. He owns the shares. He owns all the options. He owns that fucking film start to finish. I don't reckon you can remake Ghostbusters without a new Bill Murray, and I don't reckon there's anybody of his stature who could do it.
So we have to wait.
Yeah, I just watched Groundhog Day again last night, and he's very good.
Did you ever get into that argument about how long he was there?
No.
I think the internet's been arguing long enough. I think he was there for 90 minutes. It's the running time. I decided to go stupidly the other way, just to make it really short. I'm going to undercut everyone.
No, I think Harold Ramis came out and said that he was in there for 30 or 40 years. Because they sort of measured it and figured out how long it would take him to learn how to play the piano like he did, and learn how to ice sculpt like he did, and learn French and all this sort of stuff that he did.
Yeah, that's right. And he knew everyone in town. Like, he knew all of their stuff.
Yeah.
The town's like 2,000 or 3,000 people. So that's going to take him a while. I actually think it was longer than that. I think the best, most scientifical... estimate I ever saw was like 120 years And there was this, there was speculation that he went mad at some point.
We'd have to.
Well, he did kill himself a number of times.
It's an odd movie because it kind of shows that, yes, anyone's redeemable as long as they get enough time to fix themselves, like 120 years. You're like, well, what are you really saying here?
Do you know what the original ending was? Because the, you know, the ending where he sort of like achieves enlightenment and redemption, that was not the scripted ending.
No?
No.
Let me guess. He finds himself a giant mech suit with machine guns on it.
And blows his way out of time.
No, yeah. that would have been cool, admittedly. But no, in the original scripted ending, Andie MacDowell wakes up and she's having a Groundhog Day.
Oh. With him or just separately by herself?
Yeah, no, she wakes up, presumably, like, in the hotel with him, and she's then fallen into the same time loop. And they just, apparently they cut up because they said, fuck that, it's too depressing.
It's very depressing, yeah, that's awful.
hang on, so they wake up the next day, or she wakes up with him on his recurring Groundhog Day, then he's just got company?
No, like, he's out of the loop. He's unaware that it's recurring, and she's woken up. But, you know, he's had the experience of going through the Groundhog Days. So she wouldn't have the problem that he had when no one believed him. Well, she did believe him once. There was one day where he told her and she was a bit skeptical, and by the end of it, she's like, yeah. And then the next day, of course, she wakes up and it's all gone.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't be an issue for her because she'd wake up the second day. Oh, no, it's Groundhog Day again. Well, the day after Groundhog Day.
Yeah, February 3rd.
And he goes, oh.
That's a terrible name for a movie. February 3rd.
Terrible sequel. Do we have a sponsor?
We do. It's actually very... what's that word?
Fortuitous.
Fortuitous. Fortuitous.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Rufescent. Yeah, no, we have a Rufescent sponsorship this week, which is the Brisbane Writers Festival.
Ooh.
It's kicking off...
I thought they got pantsed by Campbell Newman.
No, that's the Queensland Writers Awards.
And it got brought back, I think. The Premier's
something.
Award.
Well, no, not... Yeah, that was the Premier's Awards. No, the Literary Awards.
Oh, this is the Writers' Festival, not the Literary.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Queensland Premier's Writers Award or something. Anyway, there was an award that Newman got rid of.
Mm.
Yeah. It was the first thing he did.
Yes.
First thing he did. Like the very first day he got into office, he said, kill all the writer awards.
By the way...
Cleared up $70,000 for his from the Writers Awards and then bought himself a $68,000 desk.
Yes, that's right.
Did he?
He certainly did.
The Vice Premier basically went... I need a new office. And they went, hooray! And that was more than the award that they got rid of. You go, dude.
Well, they also, you know, they must have been on a spending spree after getting all that sweet, sweet writer money in, because that very same day they also transferred a lot of funding out to, like, a camel festival or something. But, I don't know, fucking Thargaminda or something like that. These guys, you know, struggling along with no support for the Camel Festival for years. All of a sudden, writer dollars just rained from the sky.
Oh, goodness. Anyway, so we're not talking about... we're talking about something much nicer, much better.
That's right, yeah. Fuck Campbell Newman and the camel he rode in on. He's not our sponsor this week. It's Brisbane Writers
Festival.
Unless
he pays big money.
Then we were all over him.
Yeah, we promise. So Brisbane Writers Festival. Sorry, I keep cutting you off there.
Well, it's this year it's cool. I think that's their slogan. This year we're cool. Because it's not the same...
Reading, cool... Well, you're going to have to convince me, John.
They've got sci-fi writers this year. Lots of them.
And they've also got a comic book writer in there too.
Yeah, that's right. I think they've got a bunch of guys and chicks that you never ever see at festivals except as tokens. Like, you get individual token genre writers coming to these festivals, usually Matt Riley. Matt's coming and he's doing the opening address, which would be kind of fascinating. Because normally they just get these, you know, completely thinky, big-L literature wankers who come in and talk about a bunch of stuff that no one knows anything about. So what I'm hoping, Matt's going to come in and talk about explosions. It'd be awesome.
Nice.
And they've got, like, lots and lots of other genre writers this year, like 7, 8, 9 of them. That's, I reckon. That's in fact, enough so that if we can get all the genre and SF and fantasy writers together, we could, like, big gang and, like, totally beat up the literature writers.
With their,
take their stuff.
With their big brains and their weak forearms.
That's right.
Challenge them to a write-off.
Tim Whitney.
Go into some underground, like, abandoned warehouse and have, like, two typewriters sitting back-to-back. And, like, a whole bunch of other people, members of your crew, standing around cheering while you're typing up exploded goodness.
Yeah.
And they're trying to put piece together fucking literature.
I was just going to take Tim Winton's lunch money. What you got today, Winton? Yeah, not anymore, mate. Give it to me.
That'd be a fair bit, actually.
Yeah.
Like, we're not talking pennies there.
No, he gets, like, $10 a day lunch money.
Oh, you buy a whole pie with that. That's not fair. That's a
bit of the fold and stuff.
That's crazy.
Oh, fucking
almost.
Oh,
yeah, you'd almost buy one of these pies that you never got to eat, John.
No, fucking. Those guys apologised.
Oh, did they really?
They did, yeah.
How many Twitter followers has he got?
Fucking apologised about
that
pie.
Send him a pie.
I'm actually waiting for my pie to turn up.
Oh, they better send one.
Again. No, I opened up... better get here soon. I opened up my email on Saturday. I don't know what the fuck I was doing, but there was a letter from the chief pie guy at Baker's Arms.
The pie lord.
Dude, I heard about the pie. So,
oh, that's brilliant.
They apologised, which was cool, and they explained that they're trying to be a cafe, not just a bakery. Fair enough. You know, you go to a cafe on a busy lunch time, and you will, you know, quite reasonably expect to wait a while to get anything, let alone a pie. Oh, look, I'll probably go back because they did have some good looking baked goods.
But I mean, whether you'll go back or not, that's not as good as the Brisbane Writers Festival. I'm just going to point that out.
No, it's all right. No, exactly right. Fuck them and Campbell Newman.
That's right.
That bloody
the Brisbane
camel
Writers Festival.
Racing catastrophe at Thargominda. Our sponsors this week.
That's right.
Of the Brisbane Writers Festival, which is already on.
And it's also, it's honestly really good. I mean, I really enjoy going down to them. And you pick and choose what you want to go see and who you're going to listen to. And sometimes it's a bit egg-heady and you go, oh, yeah, okay. But sometimes you're like, yeah, this is brilliant. Like, it's for everything and for everyone. So it's just one of those, get involved, Brisbane, for goodness sakes. Get in there and kick some literature around. It's awesome.
If you sneak in, actually, they usually have, like, really good drinks night after the speech.
Tell them Spartacar sent you.
That's right. So get a few drinks in here, and you know, just tell Tim Winton, JB, you said, just give him the money.
Give him the money. Don't fight it. Just hand over the cash. It's protection money, Winton. It's protection money.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. Better than playing computer games.
Oh, much
you know,
better.
I woke up from a fevered dream the other night. The other day. I nap during the day. I'm a grandpa now. But I had this wonderful idea that if you were trapped in a video game, like, you'd be fucked. Because if you were like Super Mario and you tried to jump that high, you wouldn't be able to jump that high. And, you know, video game platform guys, they can always grip on by their fingertips and just pull themselves straight up. I can't do that.
So you're in a video game.
Yeah.
But you have none of the awesome characteristics of...
Yeah, you're just you. A wizard has cursed
me. You're fucked.
And I'm in a video game and I can choose whichever video game I want, but I can only get out of the curse if I get to the end of the video game. But I'll probably die in almost every game.
Yeah.
Like Prince of Persia, dead. Within seconds.
Dark Souls, dead.
Dark Souls, yeah. Before you even switch it on, dead.
That's right.
Because, I mean, Prince of Persia, those knives come out of the ground.
How about Skyrim?
Ouch.
Because in Skyrim, you're kind of crap when you start, but you level up. And you're kind of crap now, Dan, so you could level up.
Yeah, but, you know, this is the thing, isn't it? Like, if you were in Skyrim, would you actually level up, or would you just go to White Run and tend pigs?
Well, that's why, yes. I think it seems pretty safe.
And can you finish Skyrim?
Yeah, there's a main storyline.
Yeah, you can...
That would probably count.
Well, you can kill the dragons, I guess.
But yeah, there are dragons!
Yeah.
Like, well, you were taking a lot of risks to choose a game for dragons.
You're still a dragonborn. You're still... Are you not the dragonborn? So you're still a Fusrodar!
No, you're Gregoire.
But if I'm the main character from that game, I should be...
You're not the main character. You're Gregoire.
Oh. No, the main character is some other dude.
Oh, tending pigs for me, thanks. I would go to the bar and hope to pick up. That's all I could possibly do.
Well,
I'd probably die there.
You raise an interesting point, because if you are not the protagonist, then effectively you're a non-playing character. So you could...
You have to be the protagonist, but you don't have any of the skills that the actual protagonist has.
Who's playing this game? I'd be so annoyed.
You
are. I'd be so annoyed if I was playing this game and there was like Dan going, I want to Fusrodar someone. No, stop whinging at people. Stop watching Justin Bieber.
Push A to jump. No, jump, you bastard.
This would be bad. Hoyle's Book of Games, I could play poker until the end of the game. Does that count? I don't know if that's what you're trying to get out here.
I'd probably go Leisure Suit Larry.
You would get chlamydia in 16 seconds. That's not a good thing.
And remember, the only way to finish Leisure Suit Larry was to go to the... Because you had to gamble at the casino and then save your game whenever you won and then load whenever you lost. And you can't do that. You've only got one chance. So you're just going to run out of money before you can buy anything.
Oh, jeez. Well, it doesn't sound like much fun. Like,
no.
What would happen to Leisure Suit Larry with no money? Probably have to turn tricks.
That's exactly what he wants. It's the complete absence of turning tricks. That's the problem.
Okay, well, let's not do Leisure Suit Larry.
Actually, I know what I can be. I'll Battlefield. Battlefield 3 or Battlefield... The new one's Battlefield... Yeah, Battlefield 3. And
what? How's that going to work? You're going to have havoc on your case immediately.
Well, what I normally do is run up to the helicopters and jump into the gunner's seat until everyone's screaming and yelling at me to get out, and I refuse to get out, and then they just fly off with me in there. So I'm madly shooting away, getting all the kills, all the assisted kills, and they're screaming that they really wanted their friend, and that I'm some sort of terrible person. I won't repeat what they say to me all the time. They yell things at you. It's very mean.
I'd probably avoid any game that has bullets.
Well, most of them do, don't they?
Most of them have bullets, yeah.
What would you be playing, like?
World of Warcraft?
No, because you get stuck in that Leroy idiots scenario.
In the Barrens. You get in the Barrens.
And there's no actual end to World of Warcraft, is there?
No, not really, no.
No.
But you could very easily go and hunt 10 rabbits and get their skins for the Elven Queen. Yeah, that sort of stuff. And get a new hat.
You need one of those Peter Molyneux games that don't
goddess.
Do anything.
Oh, that's a good point. Oh, you can be God.
Populous.
You can be God.
Populous.
Yeah, goddess is a new one.
You don't have the powers.
You're a floating thing in the sky, and then at the end of the game ends when everyone dies. So basically you go, oh, well, everyone died. Moving on.
No, that's actually not
You've
bad.
Got to succeed. You can't just... Game
but
over.
Not, but in Populous, killing everyone is not the end of the game, is it? It's just you're a nasty, evil god.
Yeah, that's you turn up. You're supposed to run this world. You got no powers. Oh, well, all right. We just hang
you're
out.
You're battling another god.
No, you're not. You're just hanging out.
Yes, you are. In Populous, you're battling another god. And so you're going to be a not a god battling
but
a god.
But he can't hurt you.
Yeah, that's a very
He can't
poor.
Hurt you, though, because he's going to make earthquakes and the land move.
That's
and you're not
true.
On the ground. So you're like, yes, keep killing my people. I don't actually care.
But how do you defeat
don't.
Him? Exactly. See, the game never
so
ends.
So you're just god forever. That's okay. I can live with that.
But you're not a god.
But you might as well be, because you're floating in the air.
Okay. All right. I'm thinking Myst 2, because there's very few bullets in that game. And there's lots of really cool roller coasters.
Could I be in Bioshock Infinite and be Elizabeth and just have Booker look after me the whole time? So be the fetch quest, basically. Be the person who gets... Or the one from the Last of Us, the girl from that. I'll be the girl from The Last of Us.
I don't know. There's still bullets flying around you.
But you've got some giant bruiser whose whole life is just to kill everyone to keep you alive.
Yeah, but he only takes one misfire and then kaboom. Mm.
Isn't the chick like, you know, an automated like lethal killing machine of death as well?
Because
she's grown up in this world in Last of Us.
Oh, in The Last of Us, yeah, she has, yes. So she would have skills. That's a bad one. But Elizabeth in Bioshock Infinite is a bit of an ingenue. So she has no idea what's going on. And that's just like me. So I'd wear the dress. I'd put my pride aside. Show a bit of cleavage. Get out. That'd be fine. Does that work? I would do that to survive.
Maybe. Get a bit of support for the man
boobs.
That's all,
yeah, fine. Just wear a Wonder Bra. It'll all be fine. Shave. Strategically.
Look, couldn't I take precautions? Like, if I was Larry. I mean, precautions aren't powers. It's just, you know, being careful.
Yeah, good point.
I can just be careful.
Good point. Good. Like,
I mean, I'm playing Larry, but I'm not Larry. I wouldn't have to make the mistakes that he makes.
Yes, because then you could just, because Larry's kind of restricted by the fact that the parser is always like, you can't do that. It's like, I'll do whatever I want. I'll push this silly bint who's protecting the penthouse aside and just whack the button and go run up the lift. Bob's your uncle, have sex with Eve, and then you're out.
No, I reckon I'd be Leisure Suit Larry.
And it's problem solved. Take that, evil wizard.
Yeah. I mean, I the problem is that what happens when you have sex with someone who's 8-bit? Like, that's going to be pretty jagged.
Well, I'd be 8-bit too, wouldn't I? So look, basically, fit together.
Not that this is a very happy visual, but...
Be like banging Lego men together.
But John's penis would just be like a Tetris block. That'd be fine.
Yeah.
It'd all fit together.
I can live with that.
You just wouldn't be able to tell anyone, because you're a happily married man with children. It's like, is it like any port in a storm?
I am, but... You know, I'm cursed.
You're cursed. That's
This is the only way. This is the only way, my love, for me to return to your loving arms was me to specifically choose Leisure Suit Larry and have 8-bit sex. And she'll say, "Oh, John, just such a sacrifice you've made."
Well done. I can see that. That's a perfect ending to a perfect day. Yes. How about Minecraft? Maybe you can do Minecraft.
Doesn't everyone die on the first night of Minecraft?
If you've played it before, which I have, I know how to survive the first night. Therefore, you can just go cut down a tree. Or punch down a tree, more to the point. Get some wood, then make yourself a pickaxe.
Ouch.
I'm thinking this through now. I reckon I'd go GTA. Hear me out.
Okay.
Go on.
It's an open world. When it has like a narrative arc, and if you want to get out... You got to play the narrative arc.
Mm-hmm.
But why would you want to get out?
It's
an open world. You just pull people out of their cars, drive away.
Well, you can do that in our world, yes. John.
If you choose to.
Well, I reckon I could pull it off. I just wouldn't take any of the missions. I wouldn't even do side quests. I'd just, wander around the world. And, occasionally I might kill someone, take their stuff. Not hard killing a dude in GTA and getting away with it because the cops aren't very good.
No, they follow you for a while.
Mm. Yeah.
You get your car resprayed. That's all you have to do.
Yeah.
See, you're missing out because in Saints Row 2, not only can you steal cars, but you can steal jets and motorcycles and, more importantly, you can run around in the nutty.
Well, you make a strong case for Saints Row 2, which is the first... I never thought I'd say those words one after the other, but...
I would not get anywhere near Saints Row because you are going to get beaten to death with a giant dildo. You know it's going to happen. That's going to happen. And in the new one, Saints Row 4, someone will dubstep gun you into oblivion. So it's just not worth it.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe I should go back to Myst then.
I don't know. It's pretty dull.
You didn't play it once.
No, I want dull. I want dull. I want people not shooting at me.
Yeah.
But you're playing the game as staying in the game forever, where I'm more interested in getting out of the game. So you've got to find a game that's really easy to play. That's just...
Wario 2. In Wario 2, you start the game sleeping in bed, and when you press the A button, you jump out of bed and you start your quest. But if you just stay in bed, the game ends, and you win one experience point, and you're done.
How do you know, Dan?
So you just stay in bed.
How do you know, Dan, that already hasn't happened to you? Maybe you have been cursed. You said you like to take naps.
Just 5 more minutes.
Wasn't there some movie a while ago? Like some kid ended up in a video game. Well, not Tron.
Tron?
No, no, not Tron. He ended up in a shooter or something.
Oh, there was Wreck-It Ralph.
No.
Where one video game character ends up in other video games.
How did that go?
Yeah, gangbusters. Yeah, everyone loved it.
I must.
People are idiots.
I didn't like it. I didn't see the point to it. I thought it was pretty bad, actually. But everyone else seemed to lose their crap. But that's just because it was middle-aged geeks going, that's something I know! Which they need to get over that, I think.
Yeah, I didn't get into it. I didn't bother watching it. It turned up and it went.
Mm.
And good riddance, too. But there was another one. There was another film. And it was like it's a YA film. Some kid, some obnoxious 14-year-old. He wasn't The Last Starfighter, but a similar sort of character. Some kid who played a lot of games, was pretty good at them, and somehow ends up in the game. Yeah. And he's got to control some dude in the game who's like, grizzled soldier dude who doesn't want to be controlled by a 14-year-old kid. The kid's got to convince him that, he's actually awesome at this. Obviously, it made a real dent in the planet with its impact.
It was just silent. There's a lot of people staring at each other right now going, we don't know what you're talking about. I bet Oren knows. I bet Oren is going, I know what it is.
He's already put it down in the comments. It's got the link to the IMDb page. The book it was originally based on.
You know, there are some games where if you know what you're doing, you can actually warp to the end or get invincibility. Like, you don't have the powers when you get in there, but you can sort of level up.
Yeah,
but is the wizard going to stop you leveling up? Like, isn't the idea the wizard leaves you as like a level one character forever? Doesn't matter what you do, you're always a schmuck.
Like, yeah, maybe, but say you're in Doom, what happens when you get like the health?
No, you're dead.
Does hell?
No, I'm not going to Doom.
No, that's where you're on Mars, so that's always a bad place to be because of the lack of oxygen. And then suddenly hell has opened up on Mars. These are two bad things going on at the same time.
No, I could do that. Yeah. Right. Yeah, Doom.
Okay.
I'm fine. I'd be fine.
See. How about, like...
You need one of those games. There's a few of them around. They're usually designed by wankers, and it's just all about doing mundane shit. And there's no shooting, and there's no quests. You're just hanging out.
The Sims.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Sims.
The Sims. Or there's one called The Journey, the one about the... you can't actually communicate. You're just like a little sprite that can jump through the air and float on the winds. So you wouldn't be able to float in the winds. You'd be stuck in a desert. Forget that. Forget that. That wouldn't work.
Yeah, that wouldn't work. But Sims is fine, as long as you don't use any ovens.
That's right. Or let death...
Yeah.
Because those things will fuck you up.
Or let death come through the door.
Yeah, don't do that.
Get depressed.
Or not go to the toilet, because I know if you don't go to the toilet, then you can die. That's always bad.
Is there a whole game dedicated to that?
What? Not going to the toilet and dying?
Not going to the toilet. Sim toilet.
I bet there is.
I think they explode.
That's just like real people.
When they drink too much. Speaking of which... I'm empty.
I am so not close to exploding right now. That's not fair.
Yeah, I'm going to go get another martini.
Could you grab one for Greg and I then?
Yeah, okay. My round.
Fuck, it's your round, dude. It's your round. If you're hanging at the back of the bar, so just bounce. Like you're banging in the back of your car. We turn it out. Here we'll talk with Ben. Down six. Back in the day. On the ground.
Hey, you've been listening to SpartaCast episode 13. I would be Leisure Suit Larry with Gregoire, Dan Beeston, and me, JB. You can catch Greg and Dan at their awesome science and comedy podcast, Smart Enough to Know Better, and you can generally find me hanging around here.
Cause what I'm hearing's all shared on the lyrical tip. Nah, I ain't feeling you, kid. We gave ya something to jog, but it wasn't no thing. Like Bobby gave me a rod, but it wasn't no ring. And I'ma keep at 'em. Crossing my fingers, the Eve says keep at 'em. I'm going down on the